Time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce with us to talk about some of our favorite books of the year.
Yeah, I always hate to wait to January to do that because it doesn't allow people the chance to consider some of these as gifts. So I'm going to do it this week and then again in 2 weeks. And so this week we're going to talk about books of general interest and then books specific to basketball and baseball. And in 2 weeks, we'll talk about soccer, running, outdoors, sports, and the others. First of all, you know, if you live in Maine and you haven't read it, you have to have One Goal by Amy Bass. I mean, I don't think there's a better book that shows the true role of that the positive role sports can play in a community. And that's from Hachette Books, which is also Hachette Books, depending on how you say it. H-A-C-H-E-T-T-E. For those that don't know, it's about the wonderful story of the way soccer has become so important to Lewiston and how the Somalis have managed to become so integrated into the community through this. It's a terrific book for which she has received many awards and prizes and deserved them. Then on the flip side of that, I'm putting that in the general, not in soccer, but on the flip side of that is a book that we had the author Stephen J. Oberman on called Sports Crazy, How Sports Are Sabotaging America's Schools, which takes a very sober and engaging look at the way in many communities sports can be well overemphasized, can drain resources from other aspects of education, and where the pressure to succeed as an athlete and a coach really ends up sort of destroying the things we're supposed to be doing. Now that was a good book, and I liked it when we talk with Steve about it, because it's not that he doesn't love high school sports. He does, but he's looking at them with a very critical eye that I think more people should do. Then another book, and this one I put it in the general because though it's not about this part of the country, it's a book that addresses things that the state of Maine has addressed and will face in the future. And that's called Wilderness of Hope, Fly Fishing and Public Lands in the American West by Quinn Grover, which is from Bison Books. One of the things that Grover points out is that the things we learn to do as young people are sometimes the things that sustain us through life. I know I learned to fly fish when I was a teenager, and it's something that is very important to me to this day. And had I not had access to public places to do that, you know, I probably wouldn't have developed that lifelong relationship. And today I fish on the West Branch of the Penobscot, which is protected and has easements and belongs to every stretch of it belongs to the people of Maine. And without public lands, we don't develop the same relationship with our environment that we would. And though this takes place in the American West, primarily in Colorado, Utah, Montana, Nevada, the Oregon, and Washington, it's really a book that speaks to a larger issue, and that is public access. And when you look at places like Connecticut, I believe there's only 1.5 miles of the Connecticut shoreline in public hands.
Really?
Yeah, it's like of the 78 miles, I think, between Stonington and New Haven or whatever it is, yeah, that only 1-point-something miles of it are in public hands. That happened at a time before, you know, it's an old state. It's like why the streets of Boston are narrow, right? These things go way back. But out west, we have these enormous areas of public land. A lot of people are arguing that they should be turned over for private development. I think this book makes the case it shouldn't be. So that's Wilderness of Hope by Quinn Grover. A book we just talked about is about basketball, but it's one of the best sports books I've ever read. And I know, Rich, you agree. And that's Canyon Dreams. And that's why I want listeners to know we only talk about books we've read, and we only interview authors when both of us, and sometimes all three of us, have read the book. It's an American story. That's all I can say. Mm. We talked about it before. It's by Michael Powell from the New York Times, and Canyon Dreams is a book you should read. Another very cool book, and this relates in a way to Amy Gold's book, is called Citizen Okoye, The Making of a Sudanese American by Steve Morantz, which came out from Nebraska. We talked about that a little over a year ago, but it's about a young man and his family who came to Nebraska from Sudan, and how, like when the Somalis first got here, these are people coming from a country not used to the same kind of climate. They have to learn to adapt. the people have to learn to adapt to them, and how, again, high school basketball in Omaha, Nebraska, and Lincoln, Nebraska, and other big cities in Nebraska is influenced by the influx of these people, and how, rather than dividing the town, it brings them together. Another book we just talked about, and, you know, especially after, I wasn't going to talk about this one until Stephen A. Austin managed to upset Duke, is called The Greatest Upset Never Seen, Jack Danilowitz, which is about Chaminade's victory over Virginia. That started what has now become the Maui Classic, which is still going on. It's really an interesting story, the way that we forget that little colleges and universities sometimes can have a big effect on the world of sports. Baseball, a book I know that Kerry just got recently that you and I have read, Satchel Paige's Unlikely Season in the Dominican Republic, called The Pitcher and the Dictator by Averill A. Smith. Fascinating look, because it dovetails with the book we just talked about, Oscar Charleston, The Life and Legend of Baseball's Forgotten Player, how at times the Negro League players combined in the Dominican Republic and in Cuba playing for teams in the Winter League that may have, when you put them all together, be some of the best baseball teams ever assembled, and how, because of the different racial attitudes down there, these guys played together, they became friends, they were able to socialize together. There were no racial barriers in terms of the like in the Jim Crow South, and why so many baseball players ended up with great affection for that. So that's Averill A. Smith, Nebraska, The Pitcher and the Dictator. And then Oscar Charleston, The Life and Legend of Baseball's Greatest Forgotten Player, also from Nebraska, by Jeremy Beer. We just got the new edition of a friend of the show, Ed Rice's Baseball's First Indian, which he posted today, has been accepted by Cooperstown, in Cooperstown by the Hall of Fame, as one of the official books now in their possession. And if you haven't read it, it's really an interesting story. It's sad that more Mainers don't know about Louis Sock Alexis. It's like if you grew up in Connecticut, you know about Nathan Hale, because everybody tells you about Nathan Hale. And I don't know who it is. It's Joshua L. Chamberlain, probably, here in Maine. But there are always people you should know about. And if you don't know the story of Louis Sock Alexis, one really should. Two quick baseball books. I really loved Here's the Pitch, The Amazing, True, New, and Improved Story of Baseball Advertising. We had Roberta J. Newman on to talk about it. Really, the way baseball has been marketed, first it was marketed for the elite, then it was marketed to the working class, and was marketed always trying to manipulate it for the benefit of the owner's pockets. And a book for those who really like history and politics and the nexus with sports, The Presidents and the Pastime by Kurt Smith, a book that talks about the relationship between every U.S. president and baseball and throwing out the first pitch and the like. That's also from Nebraska. A lot of the books this year were from Nebraska, but that's because Nebraska publishes more sports books than anyone else. So that's a look at some of them. And next week we'll be talking with Miles Schrag about his wonderful Imogene, A Flagstaff Love Letter, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's just a beautiful, fabulous, very great book. And then in 2 weeks from now, I'll be talking about some more. People can always contact me if they want more information on these books at www.bepratt.com, my website, or you can email me through the University of Maine English Department, either way, and I'll be happy to give you more information.
And, of course, all of our Sports Lit 101 segments are posted up on the website as well. There's a tab right there at downtownwithrichkimble.com, a book I'm sure we're going to be talking about when it comes out next spring, because I've already had a couple online conversations with the author, but it's going to be published by University of Nebraska Press. I love the idea of this book. It's called The Wax Pack. Have you seen anything about this?
I haven't opened the email. I saw the thing. I get stuff from Nebraska all the time.
So this guy took a pack of 1986 baseball cards and made a pact. Number one, he would track down all the guys inside. Number two, he would chew the gum. And number three, he'd write a book about it. And it's getting some great pre-publication reviews. I'm trying to remember.
I think it's someone we may have had.
I don't believe it is, because I've communicated with him a couple of times on Twitter. And I don't, I can't,
well, sorry. I'm
unable access, but it's going to be coming out in April, but I'm sure we'll talk with him.
We will definitely get it. Rosemary will see that we get that book, I'm sure.